Index Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Up Next Podcast. It's your host, Victor Castaldo, and my guest today is Joe Jackson. How are you today, Joe?
I'm doing pretty well, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So can you tell people a little bit about what you create and maybe what got you started creating?
Yeah, for sure. So I started dabbling into music when I was 5 years old. I got a guitar for Christmas. My parents got me. And, you know, at that same time, my dad and brother, older brother, were learning how to play guitar. We were all just kind of three simultaneously teaching ourselves.
Like jamming and stuff?
Yep. Yeah. Just teaching ourselves. And so I taught myself how to play guitar. And then by the age of like 11 or 12, I decided I needed to learn how to play piano. So I taught myself how to play piano as well. You know, and then it took a little bit to bring the voice into it. Being young, you know, you got a high pitched voice and it just takes a while to mature and get better at it. But, you know, in the eighth grade, I did a show at a coffee shop in Vandalia, called Warehouse 4.
Oh yeah.
And, I put on a show, did about an hour special by myself, did, probably like 6 or 7 original songs and like 6 or 7 covers. So performing has always been a thing for me. I've been in choir and, you know, band and throughout school. But now it's just music has always been like such a good outlet that it's something I just want to continue to do and do with other people.
And how has that evolved, like from what you used to write or create to now?
It's definitely changed kind of like with the style.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, I was listening to some more of like the, like Mumford and Sons or Lumineers or like Ed Sheeran. Cause I was playing guitar. So like the acoustic guitar, it was cool to mimic those guys or do stuff like that. But now it's kind of gravitated more towards a hip hop feel. And, you know, just, I listen to a lot of rap and I've had a big rap influence in my life growing up since I was young. So it's just the, you know, feeling that you get, you just want to make whatever you're feeling. It doesn't really matter what it is, but as long as it's true and it's real to you, you know, that's the biggest point.
What are some artists that you listen to currently?
You know, probably in top three off my head is, you know, Lil Wayne has been a huge influence. I'm a big Trippy Red fan.
Oh yeah.
I like Trippy a lot right now because of, I feel like he's kind of done something different with rap.
Yeah.
And for being as young, I mean, me and him are the exact same age. So, you know, that's
and
crazy.
From Ohio, too.
And from Ohio. Yeah. So, you know, to see him doing what he's doing and bringing in like sort of a musical aspect to still a hard genre and still, you know, compete and step up with some of those guys that are talking about or doing things, you know, in the rap game. And he's out here and he's, you know, he's bringing in guitar beats and singing and he's an amazing performer, too. So he's one of my favorites. You know, Kid Cudi and Kanye, I love them. I think they got, you know, some genius minds and just, you know, creating music as most, like, because the rap genre, I feel like it gets a bad rep sometimes because people think that they're only talking or doing things like, you know, about one thing. It's all about, you know, the money or girls or shooting people or drugs or whatever. But, you know, when you really dig deep into it, there's a lot of like musical things that these people are doing that's really cool to see, you know, like Kanye or like a Chance the Rapper, you know, with like choirs and you know, bringing every aspect that
they
can.
Whole show they did
that
like tryout rap based show, I forget what it's called,
but. I don't remember what that name was, but I did see that a couple times. It's pretty good though. But I just like the fact that, you know, just bringing in the like actual music into like into the rapping or into the hip hop, because I took, you know, music theory classes and I was you know, super interested in like chord progressions and, you know, every single, you know, notes and keys and, you know, just to help you write music and get better at it. So the fact that they're able to do that with a different genre and still have fun with it, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and I think rap's cool for a lot of reasons. I like the production of it. I like the, like a lot of people think the mixes are kind of like all the same and the beats all sound the same, but an outsider from any group, you know, you see it with different people from different countries or races or, you know, genders. They kind of make stereotypes for things that they're not in because it's easy to see it all as one. It's, you know,
correct,
like people in different, like in Asia, people can recognize different people from different countries pretty easily there.
Right.
And like we can, someone with a Kentucky accent or something like that. But if they were to come here, they're going to say, oh, these guys look the same. And so it's kind of like that, I think, or a lot of people who aren't so into rap feel like it's all very, it's all trap, it's all this, but it's always changing, and there's always many different subgenres of rap.
Correct.
And I just, it's crazy how much it's growing, so I just kind of want to do something to be part of it, you know.
For sure.
During the stages of all that.
Another point with that that I like is, you know, like, you can make a generalization about almost every genre.
Yeah.
And, you know, not just rap. You could say country music, you know, all they talk about is the trucks, beer, and, you know, American flags and stuff. Yeah. You talk about, you know, any other genre, if you don't actually listen to that genre and dig deep into what they're actually saying or why they wrote what they wrote or, you know, what emotions they had when they, you know, because at the end of the day, as long as you're writing something true to whatever you believe or however you feel, you know, that's the only thing that matters.
What inspires you to create?
What inspires me to create? Yeah. I would say, honestly, it's definitely, you know, the famous people, like, for sure, and myself. Because, you know, it's, for the longest time, or for until now, music has really only been an outlet for myself. It was never really, you know, a plan or a chase, you know, trying to get money off of it or try to become famous. It was really, I was doing shows or, you know, doing extra concerts or performances because it was, you know, a way for me to just express myself, be myself, let out any, you know, if there was a problem going on in my life, it was just, you know, everything goes out right out the window as soon as you're playing. Yeah. You know what I mean? You just kind of get in this little shell and it's just you. So if I keep continuing to do that, you know, I'll be creating that for myself all the time. So it makes me want to create music, you know, all the time.
I feel that for sure. It's crazy because it seems like what inspires me to create changes over time, but I always feel inspired to create. Like, a lot of people are like, I didn't want to do it for months during COVID or whatever. I don't know, like, if you're really busy, it's harder to feel like in a creative mode, but I don't ever feel like, I don't want to make music or I don't want to think about music for 2 months. Like, and maybe that's different for some people, but it's just cool because, like, the reasons why you're inspired kind of evolve, and the actual music you make evolves over time. And it's just, and if you think about maybe the 150 songs you'll have someday, like, it's kind of like a timeline if you listen through them, like your development, or like you dialing in your voice, or maybe your flows, or maybe it's like randomly for 3 years you did country. Like, it's cool because, like, you can kind of just think, it's a way to remember it all,
right?
And that's kind of something I like about it. And I guess I kind of think about it more deep than some people, but I just think it's cool to, like, it's almost like you're journaling your, what you think about now. And people say, like, when somebody makes it, they just start talking about, you know, mainstream topics like drugs or parties that they used to rap about the struggle. So the struggle, it's like, I had this teacher once and he kind of wrote it all out, but, like, everybody kind of who starts usually starts with that. And nowadays people are starting with party music who don't have cars, they say, or 16-year-olds in here talking about Ferraris or something, you know what I mean? It's just kind of stupid to me. Not that everything that anyone ever said in a rap is true. It's kind of an unwritten rule, it should be, but it used to be they talk about the struggle. Then they start making some money. Then it's like, I just made 10K a show. Then 5 years later, they're talking about how they get 200K a feature. And it's, that's kind of like a very literal sense of how they journal their life. But it's cool because you rap about what you... If you write your own raps, you rap about your experience within a few months of that writing it, usually. You might talk about sometimes something as a child, but a lot of times it's kind of how you feel then.
Right.
You know, is it
fuck
bitches, get money vibe, or is it like, man, I, you know, Corona made me feel like a lot of alone time, so you write a song about how you're in your head, or an album like For Your Eyes Only type of vibe.
Right.
And I like, there's just so much to it. That's what I mean about outsiders. I don't think they understand all that, the layers.
I know, and that's a... That's a lot of things. You know, that's one of the biggest struggles for me is I'm very, you know, the song with Tech N9ne and Kendrick said it the best, you know, Fragile, is, you know, it's, you know, we're artists and we're creating something that's super personal. Like, it's, my music that I create is definitely one of the most personal things I have to my life. Everything else is out in the open for everybody.
Yeah.
And music is one of the only things where I have yet to cross the bridge of, like, putting it out, putting myself out there and be vulnerable, because... You know, I don't really care or want to hear what a lot of people have to say if it's negative, because, you know, like you said, 90% of the people aren't music people. They don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, I'll show friends a song and they don't know a single word that the dude said. You know, they can just hear the beat. They can't even hear the lyrics yet. Yeah. So, you know, some people have a big disconnect, but they still have a love for music. So it's tough for me to try to, you know, reach those people who don't really understand the music behind my music, but want to listen to it just because it's a good listen. Yeah. So that's, it's a weird,
it changes how you create. Once you start thinking about that, it changes what you create, how you create, how you feel when you create.
Right.
And I feel like I have a good balance of that because I like to make certain stuff. There's things I don't do because I don't want to do, or like, I don't say things that aren't true, that type of thing. But at the same time, like, flows and voices and stuff, I've been trying to, you know, experiment with different things, see what songs people like, you know, like certain things I didn't expect people to like were the top two or three songs in my last album, 22, you know, that they said were their favorite. And there were songs I thought weren't really throwaways, but I thought I liked them. I didn't think other people would. Because a lot of times when I really like the track, it fucking flops.
Right.
And then when I'm like, this is a stupid party song, I don't even know what we said in the verse.
And everyone loves it.
Yeah, everybody loves that one.
Yep.
And I don't know if they actually love the song or, like you said, they just kind of like how they can put it and the energy's good and they're just like bopping to it, but they don't even know what the words are versus like a lyrical song where you have a smaller demographic that might like it, but if they do, they'll appreciate it deeper.
Right.
And so that's important to have a balance of, as any artist or producer should do, because you don't want just the numb fans, the drugged out, or the people who are listening to you in a playlist and like they don't really care, but you're getting a play. Like, it should be about getting the deeper plays too, because those are the guys who are going to go share it. I call them disciples of the music, but basically they're the guys who are going to go take it to work and play it at work and be like, check this guy out.
Yeah. Because
when you really like a person and you don't think other people have heard him, it's the coolest thing to show off.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
You know?
I've never really thought of it that way from like being the artist standpoint, but I'm starting to think, you know, of all the rappers or artists I've like completely idolized and like they've reached me in such a deeper spot that I'll go, I mean, I will text people and be like, did you listen to it yet? Did you listen to it yet?
Yeah.
I'll text my brothers all the time. I'm like, I got 5 Future songs for you guys to listen to. I know you haven't heard them yet. Why are you guys sleeping right now? Like, you know what I mean? So like, you know, I have that. I don't know Future. You know what I mean? That's the craziest part. It's like you with music, you get, because it's so vulnerable, you feel like you kind of understand, or like, you know, if you are going through some of the type of the same things as somebody else, and they kind of put it in a verse, you know, and they just laid it out exactly how you've been kind of thinking it, but you didn't have the words to say it. You know what I mean? Like, there's songs where I've listened to where I don't really like the artist that much, or I don't know the artist that much, but I'm like, you know, the way that he composed this song is described to a T, everything I'm going through right now, everything I'm feeling right now, you know. And then, you know, then you become a fan, not just because like what you say, not because it's just a beat fetishism where it's like, you know, let's just go bang our heads and go to the bar and it's a vibe. But
those tracks are important in a way, and that's the balance.
Right.
You can't, the artists that are like, I'm not using any trap beat, I'm not featuring with any mainstream artists, I hate mainstream, they're only going to get so big.
Right.
At the same time, the people who do that are only going to last so long.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think, you know, I hate to fucking give him another shout out, but 6ix9ine, the way he did it, if all this other racketeering and shit didn't happen, he would have phased out pretty quick in terms of his music if he didn't involve it.
Right.
But he stayed relevant with all of his crazy scandals and going to jail and all that stuff. But those type of artists is what I mean. They tend to be not one-hit wonders because he had money pouring into the projects and stuff. But, you know, like, they tend to not be as remembered. I posted about it a few times, but I was reading this rap yearbook, and basically this author spent a lot of time figuring out what he thought the best record of the year was based on sales, based on what that album did for culture, that type of thing.
Right.
And some of the people on there, like, were huge for 10 years, but nobody talks about them because one guy dissed them and they embarrassed them. Or, you know what I mean? So they weren't putting out songs that were heavy enough that they could survive an attack by somebody else, or there weren't timeless records to where 20 years later they're talking about irrelevant things. Like, you know, even on some great songs, like, you know, Dr. Dre talks about having a Bieber on him. And that's irrelevant for kids now.
Right.
Maybe even 30-year-olds, it's irrelevant.
Right.
But at the same time, the overall vibe of it, you can still feel him walking through L.A. and he gets a text like somebody's hitting him up. That's just like somebody hitting up our phone.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, if you make the whole thing about beepers, it's going to become irrelevant. Or if you just make it about partying and it's kind of like numb. It's hard to make a party song continue to go unless it's very unique. You know, like maybe like Afro Man because I got high or something like that. It does stay around, but like those are hard records to make about really absolutely no depth. It's hard to keep. So
what's crazy to me is how fast those songs can blow up and how fast they can be done.
They can
like,
be done just as fast.
Mo Bamba, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that was a song that was on repeat for 3 months. And then if you played it around anybody, the cringe that people get from hearing that song now is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like Sicko Mode.
Yeah.
Sicko Mode, you know, is numbers wise, and if you look at the song, one of the best songs. You know what I mean? Like it's that on the album, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But people now, like, you know, they don't want to hear it.
Or like Old Town Road.
They're done with it. Yeah. They're done with it. But then you have songs, you know, Black Eyed Peas, Where's the Love, you know, that was made years ago, and it's still relevant right to, like, this
more
second.
So even.
Exactly. More today than it is, than it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just it's a weird balance of, like, these creators who, you know, the approach that they take. And as for me, being a brand new artist, trying to figure out which road or which, you know, demographic of people or listeners that I'm trying to go to. And the only advice I'd have to anybody else in the same position as me or to myself is just to do whatever, you know, you feel is true to yourself.
Yep.
And the right people will follow you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If it's something that can be felt, people will feel it back. I've said this a few times, but there was this Drake quote I saw once where he said something like, you could have 500 bars in a verse, but if you don't have a hook they can sing back to you, then they're not going to remember it.
Right.
And so, like, especially if you're performing, you know, it may never go back to what it was in terms of the performing world. It might go bigger. I think it'll go bigger in virtual and maybe not as big as it was in terms of selling out stadiums, but that's just my opinion.
Right.
Regardless, if you don't have a hook that, you know, like that Roxanne song.
Yeah.
I studied that a little bit because Kato the producer is the one who I heard about it from his post. And it was like first independent artist to hit number one on the charts. Like unsigned and self, like I'm pretty sure he either makes his beats or mixes or something like that too. First to do it in such and such amount of time or get these amount of plays in a week. And like, I don't remember any of the verse. I just remember Roxanne.
Right.
So, I mean, that is so important. And how do you do that? Like you said, they got to be able to hit melodies and they got to be able to do that thing. I think like Young Thug, like if he couldn't do that with hooks, he wouldn't be where he's at because his verses are okay, but they're not what he is. Like what made him is his catchy ability with hooks. Even Future, dope guy, dope verses. He's one of my favorite in that category and he always will be, but he wouldn't have gotten that far if he couldn't be hype on a hook, like fuck up some commas or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to have that element if you're going to be a party anthem person or
and
whatever.
Especially with, you know, Young Thug and Future, you know, they're up there in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, they're way up there in my opinion. I absolutely love Young Thug and Future. But I feel like for them, at least for me as a fan, was like, you know, they had to have those catchy hooks or catchy anything for people to then go and like check out their verses because you don't even, you know, Young Thug verses, people don't even know what he's saying.
Nobody knows.
Me, you know what I mean? Now I do because I'm one of the biggest Young Thug fans in the country.
Yeah.
So now I listen to him and I'm like, oh, you know, I know what Thug is saying, you know, but you go, but if he didn't like the what he was sounding like in the chorus, you wouldn't Google the lyrics and then find out, oh, you know, Young Thug and Future, like they kind of snapped on this verse.
Yeah.
They said some really, you know, the way that they put it and, you know, their different flows and like they're just different, man. They just do it differently.
I think it helps because they also carry that melodic element into their verse.
Right.
The way they kind of sing
100%.
Rap. And so like,
I love that.
If they just did a basic rap verse, it would also be lesser. So like, it is important to do those musical elements. Also Young Thug produces and engineers now. So, you know, it probably helps him creating to understand how to make it better in the long run.
Right.
You see a lot of him, and I see more of him like engineering, producing than like of pictures than of him in the studio anymore. But yeah, those are definitely things that are important to consider if you're an artist and of any type or instrumentalist or any really creator. I mean, you got to have the balance of how do I help this thing get sold or how do I appeal to more people? And also how do I have it to where it's got some sophistication or something to be remembered, something timeless about it. It can't just be as dumb as it can be.
Right.
And that's coming from me who makes a lot of dumb shit on purpose. But at the same time, like, if I was just making music for me and that was my goal forever, I probably wouldn't really make many of those. It is fun to make them, but, like, I get tired of them. I don't really listen to them after a month or two. You know what I mean? I love the songs I made 4 years ago that were bars, but the recording sucked because I had nothing.
Right.
And I wasn't as good at performing it, but I could always write. So that's just me. I like Nas type rappers. I like lyrical rappers. Like, I don't love the trap style in terms of what I would listen to on my own. But you got to have, and that's not really just for, there's more than just those two things, but you need to have the idea overall of pushing this record? If your goal is to make music for other people, how do you appeal to more people? And how do you also have that, like you said, true to you, mm-hmm. timeless depth? You need to have that sophistication, and you need to have the simplicity to sell to more people, because more people are simplistic than the super intelligent. So you make it over the head. You know, you could have a quadruple entendre, but how many people are going to understand what you even just said? You're going to be going over the top of most people. So you could have some of that, but you need to have a fucking basic hook then.
Yeah.
And so that balance is just huge.
Yeah, kind of speaking on that balance as well is one of my favorite artists. You could kind of put air quotes in it, but Bo Burnham, comedian artist. But when you really get down to it, that guy musically is very, very intelligent. And one of the things he said at the end of his Make Happy special, talking about how, you know, as a performer, he wants to, you know, give the people the night out that they deserve. You know, they work their lives, their 9-to-5 jobs. They pay money to go see him on their, you know, they take off work. They do this for him. He's like, okay, I want to give you the night out you deserve, but I also want to say what I think and not care what you think about it.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's, when he said that, I was like, you know, damn, like, that really is the balance, because you really, at the end of the day, you want to be able to say whatever you want, but you also, you know, you want to, if people are going to come follow you, spend their time, spend their money, spend their, you know, whatever they want, you kind of owe a little bit to them to, you know, but it's, like you said, it's just a weird
You need to figure that out over time. The where you need to put more weight on that balance might change over time. Simplistic music might totally phase out. It might have to go more into that. I don't know. But, and those are, like I said, that's just one scale you're working with when you're working with trying to create for money or for a business or for anything other than just yourself and your friends, because you'll probably still like those simplistic songs. And you can have elements where you're like, yeah, only certain people are going to catch that. And that might be enough to satisfy you on that end, so you can do more one way. But just something to consider, any type of any type of creator. I thought about this earlier when you're talking about your favorite artist, but what's some concerts you've been to? And if you have a favorite, which concert is that?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked that question. I've actually seen a lot of performers live. I'm pulling up a list because... So I've seen Lil Wayne, I've seen Wiz, B.O.B., A$AP Rocky, 2 Chainz, Ray Shremmerd, Lil Skies, Sheck West, Gunna, Trippie Redd, Travis, G-Eazy, Lil Uzi, Kendrick. So, you know, I've seen from, you know, top to bottom, older guys, newer guys, all kinds of things like that. I would say performers-wise, I've seen Trippie Redd twice, and maybe it's a bias because of how much I really like his music and him as a person, but I think he's one of the best performers I've seen.
I hear that.
Wiz, I loved Wiz. I loved Ray Shremmerd, you know, Sway Lee and Slim Jim. Yeah. They got great energy. 2 Chainz, I was 13 years old in the lawn. I was 13 years old in the lawn at the Cincinnati.
At Riverbend?
Yeah, Riverbend. Yeah. And, oh my God, dude, I was literally getting blinded from these dudes' chains. I swear to God, this dude had like 18 chains on, like down to his kneecaps, basically. I mean, it was crazy. 2013 was a crazy time, but 2 Chainz, he had more than 2 on that day.
How was he performing?
I mean, I thought he was pretty good. I mean, I liked him for sure. And Kendrick, I mean, he went crazy.
He's my favorite person I've seen
He went absolutely crazy because when you listen to Kendrick's music, he does, you know, how he layers his voices a lot, or he'll do, you know, different types of voice inflections and stuff, and he kind of talks. I didn't really know how he talks, so I didn't really know what to expect, you know, because some rappers, like Travis, he goes out and he screams on autotune the whole time. You don't even know what the song sounds like.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got Kendrick. It was his voice. Yeah. You know, there wasn't even a track, his voice playing on speakers. It was literally like an instrumental.
The beat.
And he came out and was like, here, I'm gonna perform it like I would do in a studio or to 10 people. To the, you know, half the state of Chicago.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best concerts I've been to. It was a Champions Tour, a Championship Tour or whatever, with Kendrick, Schoolboy Q, J-Rock, and Absol.
Was that years ago?
SZA. It was 2018, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I saw him in 2017 on the Damn Tour.
2018? Yeah, it was a good one, man. It was a good one. But I like Wiz. I love Taylor Gang, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's a cool... Those are always cool people to see, like Chevy Woods or...
And see that... I like Wiz. I listened to him for maybe like 8 years, but I think a lot of his songs I used to like bang, I don't even know what they are now. And that's what I mean about...
That's
how many
true.
Songs does he have that are timeless? He is a good artist. He's a good smoke artist. He's a good chill artist. All his Taylor Gang dudes are dope. But like, I don't know that many fucking Currency songs by name. Right. And I specifically don't love Currency, but, right. you know, or like Juicy J's been on some crazy hard stuff, but like overall as an artist, he's not even thought about.
No.
And so it's interesting because like he's rich, he's up there. His people will play his shit forever, but like, are you going to think about him at your kid's graduation to tell a DJ to play like as right. much as something else from right now? Like,
right.
It's interesting, but that's somebody who I think he might have a couple hundred songs. And I mean, I like probably 100 of them, like to where I download them and maybe I know 10 or 20 off the top of my head. But like, that being said, I spent a lot of hours listening to him.
I tell you what, it's a weird game with the music because it's really just, it's about the people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's about the fans because the underground people that, you know, are running the underground game. Like to me, like Marcus, like Hobson, I don't know how much you've dove into Hobson, but he to me, I mean, he should be talked about in, you know, like the top 10s, top 15s, top 20s maybe. But because his songs are, I mean, they're just ridiculous, and he's got albums that are, you know, he's been doing it for years, and he's been getting better for years, and nobody's given him the credit or the, you know, what it's just ridiculous. Tech N9ne, same way. I feel like Tech N9ne, you know, has been underground. He's just, they'll always be underground.
Some people
seem
capped as underground, where they're just not coming above
exactly.
ground.
Exactly. And that's so weird.
And it could be something bullshit.
That's so weird.
Political
like Hobson,
or.
Like Hobson and like, I don't know. He's unreal. And the fact that when you're at a party or you're with people, and that's the same way you were talking about that balance. Hobson has so many songs that are, you know, the party songs, but he also has amazing songs that are the lyrical ones or the real ones.
Yeah.
You know, and if you really listen to it, it's just, it's incredible, man, what some of these people can do, and then, you know, that they just don't get credit for.
Yeah.
You know, or for Grammys or, you know, it's just like, so then as an artist, you know, as a new artist, you're just like, okay, what are your goals? What are your expectations? You know what I mean? Like, do you want to be one of the greats of all time, or do you want to make some money and be kind of well known?
Yeah.
You know, so because you don't really get to choose.
Hard to do both.
You don't really get to choose.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you said, you could put out as many songs or albums and they could flop, or you could put out songs that you spent 20 minutes on creating and, you know, now you're on every TikTok dance.
Yeah.
So it's just like the way that these people can blow up now with social media at the touch of everyone's fingers, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's funny you said that because literally one of my last questions is, what's your goals with music?
What's my goals? It's funny. I mean, you know, I'm always a why not me kind of guy. Which is, you know, my parents always gave me that mindset of like, you know, somebody has to do something. Somebody's got to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you want to be the president of the United States, somebody is going to be the president of the United States. So why not you? You know what I mean? Like I always had these wild dreams as a kid. Like, you know, I was some chubby kid and I looked at my dad, didn't know how to play football. And I was like, I want to be the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I was like, why would I not want to be the quarterback? I want to be the quarterback. So we worked our asses off and I was a quarterback for 6 years. You know what I mean? So like, it's just like, there's been times in my life where it's proven to me that mindset, it really works. Like, why not me? Why could it not be me? Why could I not be blowing up? Why could I not be, you know, and the answer is there is, you know what I mean? You can, you can. So you can do anything. So for me to sit here and say, you know, I don't want to be, you know, way up there in music. That's not true. I do. But I also realize, you know, what comes with some fame and life, you know? So I want to be able to live a level-headed life, but I also want to be able to reach to some people with some music. If I can make a decent amount of money off my music, that'd be awesome. If I don't make any money off my music and I die, I'll still be happy because I created the music.
Yeah.
As long as the music is there, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Like enough to where you can live off music, but you don't need to be a billionaire.
If I could, that'd be awesome. Yeah. If I didn't have to have a job or never worked and I could just, you know, create or produce or make beats or, you know, any way I could stay in music, that'd be super. I mean, that would definitely be that's definitely a goal of mine.
Yeah.
But I'm also a realistic person and realize that, you know, there's a million people just like me trying to blow up in the music industry. Yeah. It might not be me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know? So, because I'm going to create and I'm going to, you know, say what I need to say and get things off my chest and I'll be a better man for it either way.
Definitely.
So that's my goal.
So, working on getting your stuff onto some different platforms, where can people find your content now or, follow you? So when you do start dropping some more stuff, they can check it out.
So I got an Instagram page. It's Brosif_Jackson. which doesn't have really any of my music on it now, but it's definitely where I probably have the most amount of followers or people to look at it. So my plan is to, I'm working with Victor right now to get a decent amount of songs put together. Mm-hmm. So I want to polish those up, touch them up, make them as good as I can, and put them out on Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube. And then from that, I'll be able to, tell people on Instagram or Facebook.
Right, right.
To go check it out from there. So that's really my plan of attack for people to check out my stuff. But definitely, as of right now, I don't really have, my music out yet.
Definitely. So if you want to follow Joe, Brosif_Jackson on Instagram, and stay tuned for some updates. I'll post something on at least the studio pages on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. When we have like a definite drop date or maybe something already up, we'll put a link to it and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Appreciate you featuring on the podcast, man.
Yes, sir. This is fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll do another one sometime. We tried a new setup today. I like it, so I'm going to try doing that for different episodes. But thanks for listening to the Up Next podcast. And don't forget to like and subscribe the podcast. And we'll see you next Friday. Thank you.
Up Next podcast.